for all the visitors that we have here this morning and our regular attendees. Lord, we pray that you'd bless Kevin as he speaks your word this morning, that you'd open our hearts to receive it, that we'd learn something new and apply it to our lives this week. Amen.
And why don't we say thank you to the band one more time, Mariva, please. And Robert already slid out. I love a drummer with a tie on, though. There's something about that contradiction, you know, as he's doing it. Hey, it is good to be with you in the house today. I wish I was here with Dennis, but if Dennis was here, I probably wouldn't be. So it's good to have Dennis out and to be with you. But many of you may wonder how I know Dennis, but I began planting years ago, and Reba years and years ago was like a new church plant over on the other side of Annapolis. I met him all the way back then, but I was in a different position at that time, because I don't know about you, but when you start something new, often you have financially difficult times. Anybody here ever been through a financially difficult time? So I was like out of a job, and as I'm trying to get ready to plant, I'm looking for a local job, and I went down to the local place, an appointment office kind of stuff, and I'm talking to this lady. I'm like, listen, I will take any job. I just need to be paid. I'm an outgoing person. I'll talk to anybody. I'll be a greeter at the door. Walmart didn't even exist barely back then, because otherwise I'd have done that, putting little sticky smiley faces on, because that I can get paid for. She said, sorry, we don't have any job. And then I grew up around here, so I was down in Calvert County, coming up here to Annapolis and stuff, and to the town back then, there came a local business, and the lady calls me and says, hey, somebody's come to town and they need to hire somebody on a temporary basis. I thought, okay, that's fine. She goes, they pay well, almost double what you would normally get paid. It was almost $20 an hour. And I'm like, you're daggone right. This is back late 80s, early 90s. For the equivalent, this crowd knows, that's like $1 million a day now or something, right? But it was a lot of money back then for me at that age. And I said, okay, what's the job? She said, come down to the office, meet with me. She goes, okay, here's the deal. The local circus has come to town, and they've got a monkey who is sick. Now, the monkey is a major attraction. And I'm looking at the lady, what do you want me to take care of the monkey? She said, no, what we need you to do is just put on a suit and go stand in the back of the cage and act like a monkey so there's a monkey there when people come by to visit. I'm thinking, I look like him in his cage, right? You know, I'm in here, go, what are you talking about? Remember, this isn't the day when they had these things, right? Today, if somebody walked by a cage and there was a person in the back in a costume, say they'd already been Googling, snapping, photoling, they'd have called SPCA, something would have happened, right? But I put on the outfit, I got in the back of that cage, and all I could thought is, I'm getting paid. And that's what I wanted to do at that point in time. So here I am in the back of the cage, but I'm a kind of guy who I want to be liked. Anybody here like to be liked? Yeah, some of you don't, you know, like Keith back there in the corner, or maybe Nancy. She likes to be liked, though. So, you know, somebody will like to be liked, and I like to be liked. And so this little kid walked by the front of the cage, and he looked up, and he made a comment kind of like this, and it really irritated. He goes, that's a boring monkey, Mommy. And he looked at me, because I'm just standing there, and I thought, well, I got to do something. So I started to scratch, thinking maybe that'll help. And it was obvious the kid was bored. He walks away from me. So I turn around and I look, and there's a banana there, like just hanging. I look up, there's a bar there. So I grab the banana and start to eat. And some little kid walked by and goes, look, Mommy, the monkey's eating a banana. And I'm thinking, okay, that worked. So I'm like making sounds, scratching myself, eating a banana. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to swing on the swing a little bit, okay? So I just reached up and grabbed on the bar, and I'm swinging back and forth, holding the banana one side, arming it the other, switching back and forth, and I'm actually getting a little attention. I'm getting some attraction here, and the people are now gathering around going, hey, look at that cool monkey that's swinging on the bar. And I'm thinking, yes, I am officially winning here. This is good. So I thought, okay, I had a flashback to like elementary school, but were y'all with me like where they had the official monkey bars, they called them? You know, how many of you swung from one monkey bar, leaped out, and grabbed another monkey bar? Any of you here, anybody here ever see? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're staying awake for me back here. That's good. And so I decided I'm going to swing from one monkey bar, leapt across the room, grabbed onto the other one. They weren't that far apart, but I went swinging out, came back, and when I did, they started to clap out there like, "Oh, look at that monkey. Isn't he cool?" And I thought, hey, this is great. I have attention. That's what I needed. And so I'm swinging back and forth and I'm having fun, and I thought, I'm going to try this again. So I start swinging a little bit harder, and I go back and forth, and I go to let go again, and as I let go so fast, I went over top the other bar, hit the side of the cage, actually landed up on the top edge, began to fall over the other side. I'm like hanging on and dropped down. As I hit the ground, I'm kind of breathing hard, and all the little kids and the parents come running from one cage to the next cage. And as they look up at me, I kind of look at them and I'm thinking, okay, my outfit is still on, but I'm kind of hurting. I'm wondering how to get out. And as I turn around, this little boy goes, "Mommy, there's a lion." And I turn around, and there's a lion about 15 feet away from me in this cage. By the way, I make it, in case you didn't know that part of the story. It's just, you know. So the lion stands up and starts walking towards me, and I'm thinking, do I scream? Do I shout? I'm kind of freaked out. I'm in this outfit. I'm looking for a door. I'm looking, can I jump back up? And just as I'm about to scream, because I don't know what else to do, and I'm looking at it, open up the mouth of the lion. It looks at me, and out pops Dennis's head, and he goes, "Shut up or we'll both lose our jobs." That's what church planters do early on, just so you know. By the way, that doesn't have much to do with the message today. I got to be honest, but you know, but I like to be liked, so let's start with that. So, hey, you know, it's fun to be here today. This is back home to me. I used to drive up and down the roads of 2 and 260, coming up from Calvert, going to up here to meet my family. My cousins live right over here on Reaver Road. They grew up there in this Davidsonville area. And they had the, what is it? Is it Paul's on the South River? Is that the restaurant, Little Paul's? We used to go over there and would crab off there forever and drop the boat in there. And they have a nice piece of land. I would hang out here. So this is all familiar territory. I feel like I'm back at home when I'm in Edgewater. And Annapolis Mall isn't the same when I was a kid. You know, I used to drive from Calvert because that was the closest mall when I was a kid, right? So I just remember all this area. It feels like home. And it's just good to be back in this area. But when I drive through, I start thinking back towards my childhood and youth, and I even remember hearing some of the first whispers of God coming through this place, in this area when I'm young, especially near the water. And I was even thinking the other night, sitting there in 1993 at the graduation of the Naval Academy, which happened this past weekend. It's this weekend. This past weekend, yeah. They just finished it, and I don't know. It sounded like the Blue Angels were here, but I'm not sure. I couldn't hear. I heard noise, but couldn't see anything with the clouds. I was a little disappointed. But I remember God one day in a prayer talking to Him. It made me flash back to a point when Jesus was with His disciples. I don't know. Jesus turned around one day, and one of the very first disciples that looked to follow Him, He asked them an interesting question. He said, "What do you want from me? What do you want from me?" By the way, in case you don't know, throughout the New Testament, Jesus continues that question. He asks it on a regular basis. He comes along and He says, "What do you want from me?" And so even as we come this morning, I'm just wondering, if you had the opportunity and Jesus was to walk into the room today, and He was to pull up next to you and sit down and lean over towards you and say, "Hey, what do you want from me?" What would you say? I mean, I know some of you here, you're going through some financial turmoil, some struggle in your life, and you go, "I just love just the touch of God, believing that He would heal me." Some of you going through a financial turmoil, as, you know, I felt like I was going through back then, and I think, "God, I just love for You to open up the coffers of heaven and pour out something on me." Some of you here in an emotional struggle, you are mentally working through stuff. You are anxiously trying to get something done. You're trying to figure out how to move to another level. Some of you here have never experienced experienced the gift of forgiveness, either you haven't been forgiven or you haven't figured out how to forgive, and you're carrying the burden of that weight on your soul, and you're going, man, I would love God to help just work through this relational piece. Some of you here, you've got family members. It's parents, it's kids, it's brothers, it's sisters, it's aunts, it's uncles, it's cousins. And it could be multiple different things. One, they may not have a personal relationship with God, and you're here thinking, I am burdened for them to know the Savior. Or some of you, you have a stressed relationship and you're going, I would love it if God could fix this, but you're not sure He can. Some of you plowing through college and you're wondering, how can I get out the other side? Some of you are single wondering, will God ever bring you the right one? Some of you are married and you're wondering why God didn't bring you the right one, okay? Don't turn to the person next to you and say that, all right? You know, like you're going, God, what can you do in this? And it's not by mistake that He has you here now together. And so when we come to this today, I'm thinking through times, and I'm going to come to one point today where Jesus looks out at a man and He just asks them the same question. I'm encouraging you now, when you read through Scripture in the upcoming weeks, see how many times Jesus looks at someone and says, what do you need? What do you want from me? Today's story is found in the book of Mark, chapter 10. And it's 46 through 52. You can grab those Bibles. You can follow along in a minute if it's up on the screen. But I want to make sure I couch this context because for some of you who understand Scripture and have read it before and heard stories, you might understand the context more. If you're here as a first-time guest or maybe you haven't been in church in a long time or never before, I want you to at least understand kind of what the story's at. So one day Jesus is walking down the road with His disciples and two of them are talking and they come up to Jesus and here's what they said. Hey, Jesus, in heaven, could I be on the left side of you and my brother be on the right side of you? We want to be on the left and right hand side of you in heaven. By the way, would any of you ask that of Jesus? I mean, just so you know, that's one of those positions that's appointed, not asked for. So they asked for this position, and here's what the Bible says. All the other 10 disciples got really irritated, and a fight broke out amongst the disciples. So they're all trash-talking each other. They're a little bit frustrated. They're confused about what's going on. And then when that period of time ends, they're walking down the road fighting, this story begins. So this story is going to happen following that. I want you to get one more piece. When this story is done, then the next thing that happens is Jesus walks into Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. Y'all know what I'm talking about there? So that's right before like Easter time. He's about to go in and He's now coming in as the heralded king. So between the disciples going, I want to be on your left and right. Promote me. Make me the best. And they're all fighting with each other. And this triumphal entry of the king, this story is in between the two. And I think it's very purposeful that it's there. And Mark 10, here's what the Bible said. Then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and His disciples were together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, so the word bar means son, and Timaeus, there it says, means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. I'm going to pause one second. Hey, the word Timaeus means smelly or dirty. Smelly or dirty. So never miss this. The guy's name's Bartimaeus. You are the son of the smelly, dirty one. Go ahead, turn to the person next to you this morning, and you can say to them, I'm glad you're not Bartimaeus right now, right? Go ahead, say it to someone around you. Make sure they know it, okay? But here's what's interesting. Imagine your name for your entire life being known as the smelly, dirty child. So I don't know. I mean, he's obviously a beggar on the side of the road. He has a physical issue. But you know, I've been in poor places. I'm going to be this week. I'm going to be in Sierra Leone training church plant leaders. And I'm just telling you, Sierra Leone is the lowest gross domestic product of any country in the world. They are the poorest country in the entire world. And so it's like seeing a three-year-old kid come by who's half naked and dirty and smelly, and instead of realizing it's the plight of their life, you stick up your nose and you go, dirty, smelly child. Y'all with me now? So to the dirty, smelly child, the son of Bartimaeus there, the son of Timaeus, he was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around them, think of it as us, imagine him in the middle of this crowd. You turn and they said, they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Or let's get be honest. What do you think they were yelling at him? Shut up. Dude, would you shut up? The master is out there. Would you shut up? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Shut up, man. You're interrupting everything. So they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. This is really important. And said, call him. So they called to the man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Now, by the way, this is shut up. And then, oh, cheer up. Get on your feet. He's calling you. That's a change. So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. He came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him a now famous question by this point of the message, because I've said it to you multiple times. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Why don't we all say that together? What does Jesus say to him? He says, what do you me to for you? All are pretty good over here. Lane, okay, come on, guys. You got to play with me over here next time. I'm just going to look at you guys otherwise. So he says this to him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him, and the blind man said, well, Rabbi, I want to see. I mean, none of us are surprised about that, right? I mean, if you're in a financial turmoil, you'd say, Jesus, could you fix some of the finances? If you're in a relational mess, Jesus, could you fix it? If you're waiting for the right person, Jesus, might you bring them or grant me mercy? If you're struggling with a job, Jesus, could you provide that job? So this guy's blind, so obviously he says, can I please have sight? Blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see you. And go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. I'm not sure where you might be in your spiritual journey this morning, but this story again, remember, they've just been fighting with one another and he's about to go into this triumphal entry. And here is Jesus willingly allowing himself to be distracted from the mission that he's on. To stop for an individual and to reach in a moment of faith, give somebody what they desperately needed. There's just a few things I throw out today that I want to encourage you on. I'm going to give you lots of points, but just remember one. Just think through what Jesus wanted to do for you. But let me just think through a few things that we hear in this story. I think it's interesting, number one, that Jesus was completely willing to change his agenda to meet the needs of somebody else. So imagine, you're getting ready to go into this large meeting and this business opportunity that you have, and you're going to stop and change your agenda. Or your mom dragging your kids to sports in the afternoon and you want to stop and change the agenda, which is virtually impossible unless your kid's the one who wants you to change the agenda. You've got plans after church of where you have to go, what you have to do. You just have to get stuff done. You're on a task-oriented mode and you're not in a relational mode at that moment. And you're just trying to get stuff accomplished. Here's Jesus walking towards his death, the triumphal entry. And you know what he does? He hears the cry of one man out of a crowd and he's willing to stop everything. The God of all creation who comes down as man is willing to stop everything to allow his agenda to be interrupted for a miracle that's about to occur. You know, when I think this morning about what you and I may need for Jesus, it's one of two things that needs to happen here today. Either this morning you personally need something that you're going, God, right now, it's already on my mind, this is what I need. And maybe you're here thinking, like you're hearing the voices of others or a voice from your past that's saying, shut up, don't ask the man. But you need to change that mentality and realize Jesus was willing to change his agenda for he or she who asked. So here's the one who asked, and he's about to do a miracle. But he can't do a miracle until we ask. Or he might do it and we'll miss it. Or, by the way, if that's not you this morning, then this is what I need you to be. If you're here today, all of you are here today, by the way. But if you're here today and you're in a place that's really good, I need you to know this. The majority of the world around you here in Davidsonville and beyond is not in a good place with our Father. See, the world is out there saying, I need something and I don't know what it is. And sometimes the world is like Timaeus and they're crying out for God. But instead of having an answer to it, what they need is someone like you or me who is willing to allow our agenda to be interrupted to actually become a blessing on God's part. But we have to be willing to change part of our agenda. To carve out a moment in time or to purposely fit something in when it doesn't feel like it fits. And you kind of have to trust that God will give the time back later or readjust some priorities. Because this place, we can be a place, this church should be a place that acknowledges our agendas need to be interrupted at some times so that we can be a part of what God's doing. Number two, my thought is just here. It's interesting in this passage that Timaeus had the guts to cry out for help. By the way, some of you this morning, your real problem is you just haven't said help. It's one of those four-letter words that we don't use. You don't like to say, I just need help. I mean, it's so good that they have a men's group on Tuesday night. Men are really horrible at this, just struggling. Like, you could just be plowing into the brick wall, knocking over, falling down, and I won't say help. And you deep down, you're going, I can fix this by myself. But you can't. You have to cry out to a God who, though you even feel like a dirty, smelly son of somebody, instead, God might be willing to change his entire agenda to reach down and touch you even now if you're willing to cry out. You know what else is interesting? I think even as we're sitting here this morning, there's thousands of people who will probably never walk through the doors of these churches, but they're crying out. I mean, the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, the things going on in this world. They are asking for stuff. They are looking for answers. They just don't know where to find them. And the reality is, we have the greatest news. But I think what they hear often is more, shut up, you're interrupting what's going on. Instead of, oh, cheer up, God's calling out to you. May we never be the kind of people that would say, be quiet. Because in their mind, here's what they thought. Jesus shouldn't be interrupted. And I think this is what they thought. He's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on him. And when they tell him to shut up, you know what they're really saying to him? Jesus isn't stopping to do anything for you. I mean, isn't that what they're really saying? So even though they watched Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle, in my mind, I'd want to say, hey, Jesus, could you pause for 2 seconds and throw a cross blessing, spit, throw mud, do whatever you do. Could you do something that would just help this guy real quick because he's crying out? Come on, Jesus. No, that's not what they do. What? You mean the disciples, the friends, the crowds that are watching him do everything are not even willing to stop and say, what can we do to ease this man's pain or burden? I've watched Jesus heal a bunch of blind guys. Let's get this guy taken care of. No, they hear the word, shut up. I think sometimes we have bad theology. I mean, that's a bad theology moment, right? Listen, Jesus has got an agenda. He's on his way to the city. You can't interrupt, so be quiet. But it's interesting because in this passage, Timaeus acknowledged who Jesus was. He said, I know you're Jesus, the Son of David. Could you have mercy? By the way, do you hear today? If I was just to say, are you in the position in your personal spiritual journey that you 100% believe that God wants to extend mercy to you right now? I mean, do you believe that? See, I think theologically I know it in my brain, but practically I don't feel it every day. Or I think this, well, of course, I receive mercy when I come into a personal relationship with Jesus. I receive mercy when I get forgiveness. But then after that mercy's done, I'm on my own. I got to kind of take care of it myself. By the way, that theology can creep in way too easy. And then you think it's my responsibility to take care of it from here on out. No. Can I tell you the smartest thing that you and I can do today? It's when we bow our heads that deep down we're ultimately bending our knees and we're saying, God, today more than ever, I need your mercy one more time. I need your mercy. And I have friends around me and family and people that they need your mercy too, God. And I want to exhibit that mercy. I don't want to be like these guys, not paying attention, not willing to adjust my agenda. I don't want to be like the disciples just fighting for the left or the right and arguing amongst themselves. I want to be the kind of guy, Jesus, who can make a difference in someone's life because I can point them to you. If you know in this passage later on, you're going to see real quick, these guys didn't do anything. Jesus really did it all. But they did have a strategic role. And here's what's interesting. Timaeus, to me, is impressive because not only did he ask for mercy, do you realize he actually believed Jesus could do something? I mean, think about it. He said, I think Jesus has the power to do something about my condition. You know what his only question was? I don't know if Jesus is willing. So he knew God had the power. He just didn't know if God was willing. So he's going, could you have mercy on me? The interesting part is, Jesus, was he willing? The answer is, yeah, okay. Jesus, was he willing? The answer is, thanks for playing with me, guys. Appreciate that. So Jesus is willing. The only people that were missing out was the guys that were in between Jesus and Timaeus. He's willing. He's needing, and all these guys are saying, quiet down. But he's like, I know you're big. I know you're powerful. I know you're God. Are you willing? By the way, I want you to know today, God is willing. He's willing to reach down into our inadequacies, our weaknesses. He's willing to even look at our strengths and our struggles. He's willing to look at the good and the bad in all our lives. And I want you to know, He's God and He's willing. And this interesting thing is because he asked for mercy. And just to make sure y'all are good with the definition of mercy. Mercy is just simply this. You give me something that I do not deserve just because you're a kind, compassionate God. And you're capable. I don't deserve it. You just give it to me anyways. You know what I actually think the number one issue with us becomes? When we move from mercy, which says, I don't deserve it, but you give it anyway, and somehow creeps into our mentality, oh, because of the things I've done or who I am, I now officially deserve it. And once I feel like I deserve it, I think it's easier to look at somebody else and say, well, they don't. This is why the story of the prodigal son became so important just a short time later, as Jesus is sitting there talking with the disciples. And when they tell the story of the prodigal son, you know that story is not about the son who ran away from his father and squandered the wealth. And then came back and the father accepted him. People are like, well, that's about a son that makes all the mistakes. Actually, the whole story that Jesus said, the father represents God in heaven. That's what the story's about. And Jesus says, your theology about me and God is often bad. So he's looking at the Pharisees and he goes, you see, you think the guy deserves squandering. You think the guy deserved to be punished. You don't think the guy deserved to be loved. But by the way, none of us do. Mercy means I give it to you because I'm God and I'm capable and I'm constant and I'm loving and I'm compassionate and I'm kind and I do it because I want to, not because you deserve it. So today, have you just fully embraced the mercy of God that comes through Jesus? I do also think it's interesting today. Out of all the voices that Jesus heard in the crowd, let's all just start making noise. Everybody turn and start talking to someone next to you just for a minute. Talk out loud. You need to make some noise real quick. Just turn around. Talk out. Keep talking for a second. Keep talking. Hey, Nancy, I need you to speak to me now. Keep talking. Go ahead and talk out loud, Nancy. Don't be shy. Come on, talk to me. No, talk to me. Wait. Okay, now stop. There you go. Did you hear her talking to me? I didn't hear it. I mean, when everyone starts talking like that, do you know how hard it is to hear something about? I mean, you've got to stop and make a concerted effort. And all of these people are loud. I mean, this crowds of people. You get out now thinking of a football game when everyone's being loud. You're like mobbing along with all your friends and it's loud and you have a different agenda. So even noises in the background you annoy, you can just ignore. But hear this. Out of all the voices that Jesus heard, this is the one he was willing to stop for. I'm not sure why, by the way. He just did. Sure, it has something to do with the story before and the story after. But here's then what's interesting, what happens. When Jesus stopped, he looked out at the people, and here's what he said. Go call him. Would you go call him? Would you go call him? You go call him. Go call him. Now, by the way, do you think Jesus could have said, "Yo, Bartimaeus, what's up, man?" But you know what he did? He looked at those around him and said, "I need you to go do this for me. You go to Bartimaeus on my behalf." Y'all with me on this now, right? So Jesus could have done it, but he looked out to him and said, "You go to him." And then with second, Jesus could have walked to Bartimaeus, but you know what he made him do? He said, "Why don't you go get him and tell him to come to me and you bring him back to me?" Pay attention here. Jesus saying, "You go get him and then come with him to me." I think it's always interesting because we know other verses where Jesus says this: "Hey, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest." By the way, you realize if you don't come, he can't give, right? I mean, he is God, he can do anything, but that's how it works. You and I have to step out on the action of faith. Bartimaeus, cheer up, Bartimaeus, come on. He popped up and he went to Jesus. He went, "Listen, if Jesus isn't coming to me, I'm going to Jesus." And so here he does, he goes to Jesus, and he immediately responds. And when he gets to Jesus, he looks at Timaeus, and he said, "I need you to define what mercy looks like for you, Bartimaeus." By the way, do you think Jesus knew Bartimaeus was blind just by looking at him? The answer is probably yes. And yet he looked at him and he said, "What is your need? You are asking for mercy, so now I'm asking you, what is mercy for you right now, Bartimaeus?" And Bartimaeus goes, Could I possibly see? I know you're powerful enough. My only question is, are you willing?" By the way, how many other times in Scripture, when somebody asks Jesus, "Are you willing?" he answers, "I am willing." See, one of the crazy things from us, I think the more you go on in your Christian life, you begin to wonder whether God has the power to do something, and that's not the question. He's got the power. The only question is, are you willing? And the answer I would often say is, his answer is yes. Not always when we want, how we want, but the answer is yes, but we must come to him. And the best thing that the body of Christ can do, this community of faith, is we can go on behalf of Jesus to those who might be calling out, and we can help them come back to Jesus. Are you with me today? See, there's the dirty, smelly people that are out there, and they could be a multimillionaire down the street. But in a spiritual sense, they're dirty and smelly. But they're still going, "Listen, I'm trying to find my answer in my finances. I'm trying to find my answer in my business. I'm trying to find my answer in my job. I'm trying to find the answer in a person. I'm trying to find the answer in a drug. I'm trying to find the answer in alcohol. I'm trying to cover up the pain and hurt, whatever it is. I'm looking for something, and I don't see it." And you and I don't have to be brilliant. We do not have to know much. All we have to do is hear the call of Jesus saying, "Go call them to me." And when we go and say, "He's interested in you, would you come?" We can start the process of seeing life change like never, never before. But there's two things we need. You need to first believe God wants to answer your mercy need, and you have to believe he wants to answer everyone's, because he's the answer to all of our issues. It's Jesus. And he's willing to stop the agenda if we'll only call out and come. So we come alongside of them and we help them. We begin to point them back to Jesus. That's the answer. That's the one you're looking for. So when Timaeus defined his need, he said, "I just need sight." Jesus looked at him and said, "Your faith has healed you." And then Jesus walked away. The dude didn't even hang out with him. He's like, "Your faith healed you, dude." By the way, did Jesus do anything special to heal him? The answer is no. He said, "Timaeus, by believing in me and by coming to me, you found out that I was already ready to do it. You knew it." What's interesting is most of the people around him didn't seem to. After that, intriguing, the Bible says Timaeus continued to follow Jesus. And I think that's often what happens with people who have been extended mercy. When you and I have experienced mercy and we don't forget it, it's easy to follow Jesus. But if we begin to forget it, we wonder why we're there in the first place. This morning, it's my prayer that you would never forget the mercy that God has extended you. Man, if you're here and you've never come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus, where Jesus, if he was to walk by today, because he's on the way at this point to the cross to die, and on that cross, what he said is, I'm dying for you because I want to forgive you for everything, and I want to extend mercy to all who need it. And we all need it. But we don't need it just for forgiveness once. We need it for everyday life as he's growing us into the people he's calling us to become. So as you and I begin to continue working through it, man, we need to stop. God, today I need mercy in my finances. God, today I need that grace and mercy in my relationship with my spouse. God, today I need grace and mercy in this brokenness. God, I need grace and mercy in this pain. I just had my 52-year-old cousin who lives down the road just die. 52. I'm 50. Thinking, man, the family just needs grace. They need to know that even in a moment like this, there's a God who hears and he can reach into their mercy need and he is longing to respond. And here's what's crazy. It's no big deal from him. You and I, it's a huge thing. I'm longing to see this incredible miracle. And he reminds us, the greatest miracle is the forgiveness and mercy I extend to you. There is nothing better. Doesn't get better. So a couple things I just want to encourage you as we finish up this time. This week, I think the way for you and I to better experience God's meeting the needs in our life the way that he does is just to remember this morning to acknowledge Jesus for who he is and submit. You know, it comes back. Hey, Son of David, have mercy. So he saw who he was. You are the Messiah. I see that. I believe that. When you look out and you say, I know you're God. I know you're powerful. I know you're strong. I know you're all-knowing. I know that you're the God of the whole creation of the universe. You spun it all out. Yet you know each one of us individually by name. So you're big. But he's not just big. He can hear. There's not one prayer that could be uttered right now. He doesn't hear. But the third thing is, there's not one thing that he doesn't care about. He cares about you and your need right now. So we have to come believing that and then submit. And 1986, I went in the Marine Corps, and I remember the day I stood in the Baltimore Processing Center joining, and an officer came up, and they made me, back then they still had the Bible, literally threw the hand on the Bible and raised your hand. And here's what I basically said. I give my life for the next 8 years to the United States government. Right? We have military people in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, I was only going in for a couple years full time, and then I was going into the reserve, and I was going to do that. But when I said that, they said, okay, 8 years of your life, I get it. Right? Whether active or inactive, that's what I committed. They sent me off to a boot camp. They made me wear strange colors, made me eat interesting food, and asked me to do all kinds of things that I didn't necessarily enjoy. After time went on and I began to figure out things, they sent me places around the world. They trained and educated me. They made sure I continued to remain clothed. They met all of my basic needs. They sent me all over the world. And when I did things I didn't understand, here's the one thing I always remembered. I gave up my life for 8 years, and when I submitted to the United States government, you know what they promised me? We'll take care of your food, we'll take care of your clothes, we'll take care of your housing, we'll take care of your medical, we're going to train you, and we will send you into places which, by the way, you sometimes won't understand, but it's for the greater good, and it makes sense to us. And even though you don't know why you're doing it, there's a reason. And even at times I'd be like, why do they want me to do that? There's a general on a hill somewhere over there that knows exactly why he's asking me to do what I'm doing. And if I'll do my part, the whole thing comes together. Does that make sense? When you yield in your relationship to Jesus, when you throw your hand on the Bible, and when you say, Jesus, I choose you. Here's what's interesting. He promises to meet your needs. He'll take care of those basic mercy things going on in your life. He's got a plan and a program. He'll train you. He'll prepare you. And he'll send you around to places where you may not understand. But in the end, when you submit, then He can do exactly what He plans on doing. Submit means this. Sub means to go under, like submarine. Marine's water. Submarine means I go underwater. Everyone with me? Submission, to mit, means there's a mission and I am subjugating Kevin's mission to God's mission. My mission, what I think I should do, comes second to His mission. And when I submit, God gets done what God wants to get done. Today, when you and I come to God, what we're saying is, you've got a plan and a purpose that if only I come, you will extend your mercy and grace. You will wash over me. You will lead, guide, and direct me. Even when I'm in the middle of things I don't understand, when I say yes and submit, you are going to make all things work out for good. But it begins in a moment like this, where you have to believe that God has the power, the desire, and the ability to intervene in your life and mine. You need to agree, I know God hears me. You have to be willing to say, God, here is where I need you today. I need you. You need to be willing, though, to respond to Him. When He says, get up and come to me. Or when He sends somebody else and says, you need to go help her come to me. So you're either on the helping part, bringing somebody, or you're in the coming part, offering yourself. And realize that God normally involves others. He can make the rocks cry out and do it by Himself. But you know what's interesting today? He wants to use you and He wants to use me. I don't know what He's thinking sometimes, but that's what He chooses. To the Bartimaeuses out there, He uses this. So we need to believe, have faith, follow Jesus because of it. I'm not sure where you are in your journey today. Some of you this morning on a 0 to 10 scale, you may be like, hey man, I'm a 1, Kevin. I'm not doing that great. Some of you are like, I'm a 5 sliding through the middle. Some of you are like, I'm on a 7 catapulting myself to a 9. Hey listen, I'm not worried about where you are right now. My question is where are you moving to by tomorrow? I know today that when you and I come and we submit, and we all ask God, God, help me. Help meet my mercy need. Then we're actually looking at Him and saying, I believe you're a God who's big enough to do something about it, and I believe you care enough. And then when we take that same attitude that God can use us to reach others, we can change this community and this world. As we finish out this time today, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to just take 30 or 45 seconds and just stop and pray right where you are. And if you're there today that you're just going, man, I'm like a Bartimaeus. I have an incredible mercy need right now. I'm asking you just internally call out to God and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you. But hear Him go, what do you need from me? I'm blind. I can help you with that. So just be honest with Him today of where you are. And if somebody else here, if that's not you today, then I want you today to stop and say, Father, I know there's people around me that if I would only be intentional or slow my agenda, you will use me to call them back to you and I can help them with their mercy need. I'm praying that you either experience God minister to you now or you experience God use you now. And if we could just do that, then we'd be able to understand, what do you want from me? I want to be used by you, God, and I want you to touch me now. So just take a few seconds right now, and then I want to pray over you as we finish this time together, as God continues to speak to your heart and mind. Let's pray.